Senior Focus. Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter of this edition of Senior Focus. And I have with me in the studio today a very important person, Jackie Knight. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you.
Jackie is the chief cook and bottle washer, she assures me, of the Butterflies Trust. And she's a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit, newly honoured in the New Year's Honours List. And I know this is because she's worked tirelessly over many, many years, not only for the monarch butterfly that she was well known for previously, but now for all butterflies, because they are so important in New Zealand. We have such a large number that are not even yet identified. And I would like to hear from you, Jackie, just how long has the trust been going?
I founded it in 2005 or 6, not exactly sure now. So we started out life as the Monarch Butterfly New Zealand Trust, and after a while we realised that everybody knows the Monarch Butterfly, but not many people know that we have some beautiful New Zealand native butterflies and also over 1,600 species of moth. And most people think about moths as being something that get into your pantry and get into your food or into your carpet or into your beautiful woolen clothing. So we're trying to raise awareness of all the other beautiful ones that are out there in New Zealand.
I'm very, very excited about your latest project, which you have undertaken at the Settlers Retirement Village.
Yes.
So this was an amazing idea, I thought, and I'm interested to know how it got going.
Well, Settlers came to me and through a mutual friend and said that some of the people at Settlers were interested in raising monarchs in little cages. They look a bit like the old time safe. We call them caterpillar castles. And so I went over and met the group at Settlers who were interested in doing something like that. And I suggested that maybe it might be better to have a butterfly house in their extensive grounds. They've got beautiful grounds there at Settlers. It's in Albany. And after that, one of their residents said he would fund the butterfly house. So they bought a kit set from a crowd in Palmerston North called Redpath, who make the best for butterflies. It's not intended for butterflies, but it works really well. And then they have a men's shed at Settlers in Albany. And so those guys got together and they built the butterfly house and then transported it from the men's shed down to this lovely little green area where there's maximum sun, which is what butterflies need. And we had a grand opening, and it's just such an exciting project, because now they've got 1 year under their belt and everything went so well, they're talking about helping us with our Red Admiral project as well.
Oh, so what are they going to do?
Well, the Red Admiral used to be reasonably common in Auckland. It's common all over New Zealand, but most people now don't even know that it exists. Our Red Admiral is only found in New Zealand. There are Red Admirals in Europe and North America, and there's another one in India, and I believe there's other species of Red Admiral, but our one is only found in New Zealand. And if you have a look at it, it's really gorgeous. It has the crimson of the Pūtākāwa on its wings and blue, I like to think of the blue of our beautiful harbours, or the power shells. It's a stunning blue. And, so I think it's the best-looking one in the world. And its host plant is stinging nettle, so most people say, I'm not going to have a stinging nettle in my garden. They pull it out as a weed, which means we're losing the butterfly. Used to be reasonably common. Tell me if I'm speaking too long. It used to be reasonably common in Auckland, but around about the 20 years ago, you might remember the painted apple moth was discovered in Auckland, and they sprayed insecticide around the city then. And since then, some butterflies and insects have bounced back, but others have just not come back. And the red admiral is one. So we need people in Auckland to plant stinging nettle in appropriate places, and to plant also nectar flowers for the adults to get nectar from. And so right now we're reintroducing the red admiral. We're going to have a ceremony in July at the Blockhouse Bay Park. Not many people know about that yet. It's still sort of being organised. But we're encouraging people to plant for the red admiral, and people are, so that's really exciting.
So this ceremony in Blockhouse Bay, this is a special garden which is on public land, and I wondered if you'd like to tell me the story of how that got going.
Yes, it's the Blockhouse Bay Recreational Reserve, which is in quite a large park, but not many people know it's there. It's in Terry Street, Whitney Street and Rathlin Street. So I think about 10 years ago I was walking through there and I noticed a group of monarchs overwintering there. So I thought about it for a while and approached the faux local board and asked them if we could actually beautify that little area to make it more special for butterflies. So some volunteers have been helping, and now we have corporate groups come and help. And it's a really beautiful little pocket in the park. And in fact, I was doing some planting and weeding over there earlier this week, and a woman came by and I said, "Have you been up there and had a look?" And she walked the little loop track in this little secret garden. It's not meant to be secret, but it's like it's a secret garden. And oh, she was just so in raptures about how beautiful it is. It's really lovely.
Well, that's a wonderful story, and I'm looking forward to making a visit myself. I know where the Recreation Reserve is, but I've never visited the garden, even though I did know about it. So
the entrance is near the tennis club, the courts of the tennis club. That's the easiest way to find it. If you walk past the tennis courts, and then you'll see a sign, courtesy of Auckland Council, about what we're doing there. Yeah, and enjoy the flowers.
Well, that's marvellous. And I'm really interested to know what other projects you've got going, because I heard that you've got nearly 20.
They're all listed on our website, and so we do a butterfly count in February. We have a I Love Butterflies week, so we started that this year, and it's gradually growing. People who didn't know it was happening, of course, have come up to us afterwards and said, "I didn't know." And I say, "Well, let's get involved next year." So we're hoping to get more schools on board. Instead of it being one day to do the count, we're going to make it, I think, over a period of about 9 days. So that's two weekends and the week in between, so that schools can also get involved. Because if you don't know the butterflies are out there, then you can't count them. So we have to really educate people about the different butterflies. And you can, once you start seeing them, you realise that there are differences just in their behaviour and what flowers they hang around, and their flight, the way they fly. So you learn more about them. I mean, everybody loves butterflies, but usually they're only talking about monarchs, or else they hate the cabbage white. And yet once you learn a few tricks about how to plant your vegetables so that the cabbage white butterflies, or the small white butterfly, doesn't compete for your broccoli and cabbages, then you learn to understand how the butterflies behave, and there's so much to learn.
Well, that's a very interesting topic in itself. So I'm going to ask you more about this because I'm sure a lot of people would like to know if there are tricks to planting, how they can naturally get rid of the white, the cabbage white.
The small white, I mean, I could go on for hours here, Anne-Marie, but the small white or cabbage white, your brassicas, which are your cabbages, cauliflowers, broccoli, Brussels sprouts and a few others, they're really winter vegetables. So we should plant for them late summer and enjoy them over the winter rather than trying to plant them in the spring. Now, if you plant them in the spring, that's when the cabbage white is looking for host plants to lay her eggs on. So if she lays eggs on your brassicas, then you're going to get caterpillars on your brassicas. And so another trick is when you plant your brassicas, don't just plant a row of cabbages or a row of cabbages and broccoli. Plant one broccoli plant here next to garlic, next to rosemary and a lettuce, and then maybe another brassica plant. Or if you've got a flower garden, why not scatter the brassicas around your flower garden? That makes the smell of the brassicas less evident to the small white butterfly, and so she's less likely to find them, because when you plant a row of, or a field of cabbages, obviously to her, she can smell it from a long lot further away, and that's when you have problems. Mm. Monarch butterflies, I know it's another species, but we know a lot more about monarch butterflies than other butterflies. They can smell a swan plant or milkweed from 2 kilometres away. So you can imagine if you've got a row of cabbages, probably the white butterfly's smelling it from a long way away.
Mm. Well, that's fascinating. And I'm interested in the way you work with sponsors. And I noticed that you have a relationship with King's Plant Barn. And I noticed also you have a relationship with Dalton's. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you'd like to talk about how things are evolving with schools, because I think that Dalton's do support what you do in schools.
Dalton's are amazing. They, it's a relatively new initiative. We advertise to schools, or we don't advertise, but it's on our website. We ask schools if they're working with Butterfly Habitat that they fill out this form and send us photos of what the children are doing in the school garden. 10 years ago, everyone thought that butterflies meant monarch butterflies, and so they'd plant a swan plant and they thought that was it. But once you get into the whole spectrum of butterflies, you can tell such amazing stories to children, for instance about migration. Or I've just been dealing today with a beautiful little Māori karakia called Puririhua. It's a beautiful song. So for Māori Language Week, you could use Puririhua and do a unit about butterflies, that sort of thing. So you can talk about migration, you can talk about geography. So many, you can use butterflies in maths. Even in preschools, you can talk about the butterfly having the same pattern on one wing as to the other. So butterflies are an amazing educational tool. That's how my two boys started learning about nature, because we studied the monarch butterfly. So Dalton's, what they do is every 4 times a year, they give an award of, I think it's $200 worth of their products to the school that is judged the best entry, that term, of butterfly habitat. So we're not just talking about monarchs and swan plant, we're talking about other species of butterflies and moths as well. So now you find your schools are planting not just for New Zealand with New Zealand native plants, but they're actually thinking about when they plant a kōwhai tree, it's actually a home for the kōwhai moth as well, not just, oh, there's some insect eating our kōwhai tree, let's kill it. You know, so it's just got more robust. It's really quite exciting.
Oh, thank you for that. It's whetted my appetite to hear more and look out for more things. There are a number of community gardens that have been established of recent times, some on vacant land, on land that's set aside by NZ Rail for whatever might ever eventuate as to light rail or something else. And there are other community gardens I'm aware of on the North Shore that have started up recently. And there's a really big one called Grow Forest Hill.
Oh, really?
And that's been going. It's got about 50 volunteers. And I'm going to do a program around it soon.
Nice.
But I just thought, wow, if they had a connection with your trust, lots of things could come out of that because there are families going along, taking their children along. They're learning how to plant. Yeah. They're learning how to care for plants and so on. Mm. So why not introduce butterflies into it?
Is that at Rosedale Road?
No, not really. Oh. The Sen Reserve in Forest Hill. So that's actually the other side of the motorway, mostly.
There's some wonderful projects going on out there, aren't they?
There are some wonderful projects, and some people are helping or cultivate these ideas and constructs and working out structures and what are the best ways to help people do it. And so the woman who set up Grow Forest Hill is actually working with other groups across the city now.
Great.
Right down the Devonport Peninsula and also over in West Auckland.
See, as I mentioned about knowledge about butterflies and moths is not very common. And we set up a course online where people can actually study at home in their own time to learn more and understand more about butterflies and moths. That's very popular as well, and then they get given a certificate at the end of the... That is a very simple test to follow. And we also have another certification course. So now there's a place over the North Shore and it's something Eco Hub. Do you know it? I can't think of the name of it now. That's bad. But they've got an environmental centre and a nursery where they're growing plants to plant out in these conservation projects. And they have at least, they need to qualify, they have at least 3 plant-insect relationships or plant-lepidoptera relationships, lepidopteras, butterflies and moths. So they have that relationship at least 3 species in their habitat. And then we give them a beautiful plaque, which we present for them to show off to all the visitors. Mm.
I was thinking that possibly is Kaipātiki.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Yes, they've been going a while.
Yes, it's lovely.
They've got quite a strong pedigree. Mm. They're very well established. So it's interesting that collaboration is the way forward.
Yes.
Because we're all interconnected. And
that's right.
People can approach learning from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's working well, isn't it? All these groups getting together.
Working really well. Now, I was also interested to know how King's Plant Barn are engaged as a sponsor.
They're very supportive of us. We have in the past put presentations together, and particularly in school holidays, whereby we all go and turn on some activity for children, or I've spoken to family groups at King's Plant Barns in the school holidays. They did a wonderful promotion for us with the Red Admiral Project. That was last year, time goes quickly, whereby we had this group of AUT students who came up with a cartoon Red Admiral character called Ranui. And so Ranui was doing various things throughout the garden centres, and the children found Ranui and wrote down a keyword, and they were rewarded by at the checkout. So that's a lovely initiative of King's.
Oh, yes, indeed. And I was thinking that there are some new relationships being brokered by secondary schools where they want their youth to go into retirement villages.
Yes.
And do intergenerational stuff. So
it's wonderful,
there's
isn't it?
There's a big field of exploration possible to link in with some of your activities.
That's right. It's just we need more volunteers to work on these relationships. We've got a great team of people. In fact, we've been profiling all our volunteers throughout the month of May on social media, and it just makes you realise just, you know, there's some really special people out there, and they've all got great skills. We've got two young women who are promoting our social media, because I keep getting words like algorithm mixed up with aneurysm, and it just shows you my age, doesn't it? I think those two things are quite different, don't you?
Indeed, yes.
But so it's a lot, it's getting beyond me, the social media, but these two are wonderful for sorting things out. And we've got another young woman, Bina. She's only recently arrived from India. She wanted to do some voluntary work while she was looking for paid work. And she's amazing, you know. I mean, you come to a strange country, you don't have a great grasp on English, and she works with our treasurer mostly, and people buy seeds or products on our website, and then Carol sends Bina a receipt, and Bina gets the right products and puts in an envelope with the receipt and sends them out to people. So it's really incredible, our range of volunteers. It's very exciting working with these people. I'm just the main stirrer. I sort of put people in touch with each other and then sit back and let the magic happen.
Well, you're a very good networker. I'm aware of that. What I would like to ask, though, is if any of our listeners were keen to become involved, as you've got so many different types of skill sets that would be very suited to the kinds of variety of projects that you've got, I'm just wondering, who should they contact and how should they contact you?
Probably through the emails, probably the best, because then I've got a record of the discussion and where it's going. We also advertise from time to time on Auckland Volunteering.
All right.
When we can see that there's an opportunity for somebody to be doing something, working with us. But I'd love to hear from people. They can just email me. trust@nzbutterflies.org.nz is probably the easiest email address, because people spell Jackie in various ways.
Yes.
So trust@nzbutterflies.org.nz. And tell me their background and what their skill set is, and we can either find something that interests them. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, we need somebody to do this, because sometimes people don't want to do that, you know. I'd rather hear what they'd like to do for us.
Oh, that's a very good approach, I'm sure. That ends up with satisfaction on both sides.
Yes, that's right.
That's great. Now, funding is an intriguing issue, because it's something that a lot of not-for-profits are struggling with right now in the post-COVID time. But you've never had government funding of any sort. You've never had any official funding.
No, correct. We've got two wonderful sponsors, Lion Foundation and Foundation North, are very happy with the work that we're doing. I hope that I'm right in saying that, because they're always very supportive. And usually we come up with a project whereby we need some funds to do things, and they will usually help us out. But we also try to be self-sufficient. That's very important. And so we create opportunities for ourselves by, for example, we're selling plants. We've got some really good butterfly nectar plants. And twice a year, I have one of our volunteers comes and helps me. I take cuttings of all my perennials or shrubs that are good for nectar, and we send them out all over New Zealand to people who've paid for them because they can't buy them through the garden centre. And also we do seeds as well. So we collect the seeds off our best plants and then we sell those on our website. So that's another great way. I mean, people aren't buying stinging nettle seed from anywhere else except us. But it's not the pest plant, it's native New Zealand nettle. And we found a really good one, which is Urtica australis. Big leaves, feeds lots of caterpillars, so that's a really good plant to have. Then we produce a calendar every year, and each page of the calendar profiles a different beautiful butterfly New Zealand species or a moth. So they're the sort of initiatives we're looking at to create funding streams for us.
Great. And you've got the Moths and Butterflies Trust production four times a year in the form
magazine.
Of the magazine.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, which is very professional and really well laid out, really worthwhile looking at.
It's interesting. It's used to be quite hard for me doing that, in that I was always thinking, what am I going to put in it this month, this issue? But now there's just all these projects coming up, and they're not all our projects. They're just people doing things for butterflies and moths in different ways. So, for example, there's a dock ranger who's currently in the Mackenzie country, and he writes some really fascinating articles each issue about a different moth species or a different butterfly that I never even knew existed. So different people talking about their gardens and how they are fostering Lepidoptera in their garden. So
if you wanted to become a member of the Trust and receive the newsletter, how much a year does it cost to join?
It's $40 a year to have an online subscription. So each quarter you get a PDF to read, or to get it by print in the mail, it costs $50 a year. And it's very easy to go to our website and just sign up or even make a donation if you want to make a donation.
Well, thank you very much, Jackie, for this wealth of information. And we look forward to staying in touch with you because I'm sure there'll be more projects we want to hear about in the future.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thank you very much for coming in. And we look forward to being with our audience next week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.
I'm afraid you're wrong.